Thank you for that introduction. I was hoping that no one was going to know that it was my birthday. It's Ashley Warnock's birthday today, too, so if I have to be under the bus, so does she. You're welcome. You're welcome. So make sure to wish her a happy birthday. Like Phil said, my name is Sarah, and I'm really excited to get to share with you this morning as we wrap up this series called Your Move. And like you saw, the big idea this morning is wake up the wonder. So what does that mean and what are we going to talk about? And as we, as I started to think about where we're going to go this morning and the passage that we're going to look at and what does it mean to even have this idea of wonder, I don't know how much time you all spend around little children. Some of you have a bunch of them. I was just talking to Jack and Courtney this morning, and Jack was saying that their basement now has these polka dots all over the wall. And he said, every part of my house, my child is invading every part of my house. Like, the kids have this ability to just kind of permeate everything. And I don't have any children of my own, but have the chance to spend time with the children of a bunch of my friends. So I want to introduce you to a few of them this morning. I wish that I actually had them here because, holy cow, they're really cute. But I have the next best thing. I have some pictures. Can you do the other one first, actually? These are my friends Cashel, Cove, and Ransom. I know you think their names are weird. I think they're great. So Cashel, Cove, and Ransom, I work with their dad, and he and his wife are two of my really good friends. Cashel is 4, Cove is almost 3, and Ransom is almost 1. And they are some of the most entertaining little children that I ever spend time around. So I went to a Christmas program this summer? No. I went to the Christmas program at Christmas time. And I've seen a bunch of Christmas programs. I think that they're nice. They're not like what gets me up and gets me going in the morning. You know, I'm not like, it's Christmas program time. But Jess, their mom, and I went to this program, and we took Cashel and Cove, the older two, with us. And Cashel was sitting on my lap before anything started. And as we're sitting there, you know, it's just, everything's normal. There's nothing crazy happening. There's like a set up on the stage. He's saying, oh my gosh, Miss Sarah, what is that castle for? This is so exciting. Is there a king going to come out of that castle? What are those ribbons doing hanging down from the ceiling? This is so crazy. And then as the program starts, there's live animals in this program. So these camels come around the corner and he's like, what are those camels doing here? You know, he's just like freaking out. The people sitting in front of us just keep turning around like, what is going on back there? Just keep saying, Cashel, you have to be quiet. He's like, Mama, this is so exciting. I'm like, it is so exciting. Who can believe that there's a camel inside a church? I mean, this is just the greatest thing we've ever seen. Right before Christmas break at school, our principal rents out a movie theater, and so we get to go watch a kid-friendly movie. So we watched The Penguins of Madagascar. Not my favorite movie I've ever seen, ever in my lifetime. But again, I was sitting next to Cashel, and I am not exaggerating. Every 30 seconds, he says, what's happening? Every 30 seconds, okay? So someone new enters the screen, and he goes, who is that, Miss Sarah? What's happening? And so I'm like trying to explain to him what's happening in this. It's not a very complicated movie, I don't know. So I'm trying to explain to him what's happening. At one point, I'm trying to explain how they thought that they were in one country, but they were in a different country, and they end up in the right. He has no idea what I'm saying. He just keeps saying, what? 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 I'm like, I know. Isn't this movie so great? Look at the penguins. You know, I mean, he's just it's so entertained by everything. The other picture is, this is my friend Rylan. I also work with her dad. And I know that most of us in here are really big Buckeye fans. Rylan is 4, almost 5. And she, as she was watching the national championship game, thought that Ezekiel Elliott was just like the greatest thing she had ever seen. And so this is how she just wants to wear her clothes, like from now on. So we're watching the game, having a really good time, and Dan texts me, her dad, and says, Rylan loves Ezekiel Elliott more than all of the rest of us. I said, do you think she's going to go to school like that tomorrow? He's like, probably. I don't know. I mean, everything, and again, I don't know how much time you spend around kids, but somehow things that start to become just kind of normal and mundane, when there is a child there, you start to see things totally different. like, Christmas is great, but Christmas with kids is like, holy cow, the whole world is changing, right? Like, what's inside this box? I have no idea, you know? I mean, it's so exciting. I don't care about the penguins of Madagascar, but the penguins of Madagascar with Cashel sitting next to me was maybe the most entertaining movie I've ever seen. Going to a Christmas program is just another Christmas program, but when you have a kid on your lap, everything is more exciting. Because children haven't learned what some of us have started to learn. Children haven't learned that, well, if your expectations are too high, you're going to be disappointed and you're going to be let down. Children haven't learned, I should probably toughen myself up and get a little bit cynical because at some point somebody's going to hurt me. And so I'm just going to put this wall around me to keep that from happening. Kids haven't learned that yet. And so that's why when someone lets them down, they're really disappointed. But that's also why they get to experience the beauty of life in a way that very few of us do once we become adults. Because we've decided I would rather protect myself from that. And honestly, I think it's one of the reasons that God lets us experience life again through the eyes of children. Because it reminds us of what it's supposed to be like. And I think it's no accident that Jesus in the New Testament, he said, your faith should be like the faith of a child who hasn't decided, I'm going to lower my expectations, I'm going to keep everyone at a distance, I'm just going to assume that everyone is out to get me. That's not what a kid does. A kid says, what's happening? And can't wait for the answer. This is what we're going to talk about this morning. How do we get back to that place? Because the reality is that God hasn't changed and he hasn't gone anywhere. He's still right here. And the same God that maybe seemed far more exciting to you a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago when you met him for the first time, or when you had some sort of really unique experience with him, that God has not changed. So how do we get back there? How do we wake up to the fact that we are in God's presence? We're going to look at a passage this morning in the book of Genesis. So we're going to go to Genesis chapter 28. And I didn't look the page number up because I'm the worst. But Genesis is the first book in the Bible. If you're unfamiliar, there's no shame in that at all. So turn to that first book, and then we're going to go to chapter 28. And as you turn there, I'm just going to pray for our morning, and then we're going to jump in. Father, I thank you for who you are, and I thank you for the fact that you never change. Thank you that you, as the God who have done great things in the past, stories that we read about in the Old and the New Testament, things that we remember from our own experiences, that you do not alter who you are, your character, the way that you love us. I pray this morning, God, that you would give us insight into what it means to be awoken to who you are and to the wonder of being in your presence. Thank you for what you're going to do this morning. Thank you that you are so good to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're in Genesis 28, and we're going to start in verse 10. We're only going to read a few verses here. So as you're getting there, let me give you a little bit of background to what's going on. So we are jumping into the story of Jacob. Now, if you're unfamiliar with kind of the history of the nation of Israel, it started with a few guys back in the book of Genesis. So we had Abraham was called by God and said, I'm going to give you a great nation. Now, this was very amusing to Abraham because at that point he was getting close to 100 and had no children. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with the way that biology works, but at that point, it's kind of like game over, right? Like, no one's like, I wonder if that 100-year-old is going to have a baby anytime soon. Like, we're all pretty comfortable that that's not going to happen. And yet God says to Abraham, I'm going to provide so many children for you that it's going to outnumber the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. And Abraham says, okay. Now, how he believed that, I have no idea, but he did. And God provides for him, finally, a son, Isaac. Now, again, one son, you actually can count one. So I don't know if at that point Abraham thought, like, this is not going the way that I thought it was going to go. He doesn't have countless children. He has a child, just the one. His name is Isaac. So we then follow the story of Isaac. Isaac gets married, and Isaac has two children, Jacob and Esau. They're brothers who do not get along. Esau is the manly man. He and his dad are really close. They have a really good relationship. He was born first. And so he's the one who goes out and hunts and brings food in for his dad, and his dad loves him. Jacob is a mama's boy. His mom Rebecca loves him. They are really close. He spends more time around her doing things that would have been considered at that time to be more feminine things. And so it's getting close to the time when Isaac is about to die. And before he dies, he is supposed to give a blessing to his child, his oldest child. So that's supposed to be Esau. Well, Rebecca decides, I love Jacob more than I love Esau. And so I want him to get the blessing. And so Esau was like this really hairy guy. And the Bible actually says that she took like lamb's wool and wrapped it around like his neck and his arms, which is so, like, how hairy was this man? I know some hairy people, but no one who is like that. I don't know. So she wraps him in this wool and puts some of Esau's clothes on him and sends him in to Isaac. And Isaac is going blind, so he can't see him, but he smells him and he feels him, and he believes that this is his son Esau. And so he gives the blessing to Jacob. And then a little bit later, Esau, the real Esau, comes in, and Isaac realizes what has happened, and Esau is so angry. And so the mom, Rebecca, says to Jacob, "You got to get out of here. Like, it is not safe for you to stay. Your brother is going to kill you if you stick around here." So she is sending him to stay with her brother. "Go and stay with my brother. Wait until he calms down." He actually ends up staying there for 14 years. So Esau must have been really mad. So she sends him away and says, "It will be safer for you to go somewhere else." So that's kind of the background to what's happening. Okay, so Jacob becomes very, very important in the story of Israel. But at this point, he's a guy who has done a bunch of things to make his family angry and is on the run. And that's what brings us to Genesis chapter 28, and we're going to start in verse 10. "Meanwhile, Jacob left Beersheba and traveled towards Haran. At sundown, he arrived at a good place to set up camp and stopped there for the night. Jacob found a stone to rest his head against and lay down to sleep. As he slept, he dreamt of a stairway that reached from the earth up to heaven, and he saw the angels of God going up and down the stairway. At the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, 'I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham, the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I'm giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions, to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I am with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you.' Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it.' But he was also afraid and said, 'What an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven.' The next morning, Jacob got up very early. He took the stone he had rested his head against and set it upright as a memorial pillar. Then he poured olive oil over it. He named the place Bethel, which means house of God, although previously it was called Luz." Jacob lays down to sleep. He's on the run, on his way to stay with some family members that he doesn't know, because he's just done some pretty terrible things to his brother and to his dad. If anyone is going to have an encounter with God, this guy is not the guy that I would have picked. He's not what we would say making the best choices right now. He's the black sheep brother. trying to get out of town before his other brother kills him, quite literally. And he stops on his way and he lays down and makes a pillow out of a stone, which sounds terrible to me, but makes a pillow out of a stone. And as he sleeps, he receives this vision from God. And God says to him, remember the promise that I have made to your family. I told Abraham that he would have more children than he could count. And remember, Abraham only had one son. That son is Jacob's dad. And so now God says to Jacob, that promise has continued to you. I have not forgotten the promise that I made to your grandfather and to your father. I am going to do something incredible. I am going to give you more descendants than you can count. I am going to fulfill my promise. In fact, he says, I will not leave you until I've given you everything that I have promised. Eventually, what's going to happen is that Jacob is going to end up with 12 sons. Maybe you've heard of some of them. One of them is Joseph. Joseph ends up being betrayed by his brothers. He ends up in Egypt and becomes the second most powerful man in all of Egypt. In fact, ends up saving his whole family from dying of a famine. And from his family come millions of descendants. This guy, Jacob, running from his family, sleeping on a stone in the desert, God comes to him and says, I am going to fulfill the promise that I have made to your grandfather and to your father, and now I am making it to you. And when Jacob wakes up, he says, God is here, and I didn't even know it. The reality is, it's not that when Jacob laid down to go to sleep, God like snuck into the area, right? Like God wasn't there before, and while he's sleeping, God's like really tricky and he shows up. God was always there. Jacob just wasn't aware of it. And again, I don't know where you're at, and I don't know what's been going on in your life recently. But I just want to maybe tell you a little bit about my story over the last year. When I started to read this passage and think about, okay, where are we going to go and what are we going to talk about? I thought like, oh, I don't really want to do this one. I don't really want to do this one, and I don't want to talk about having to wake up to the wonder, because to be real with you, this is really hard for me. And this has been really hard for me over the last year. Things about life over the last year have been really good. Honestly, I really like my job. I really like my church, so thank you. I really like the things that I get to do, the things that I get to be involved in. I have an awesome family. My brother and my sister both got married this summer. My sister-in-law is going to have a baby. Like, there's so many good things happening. And yet, probably for about the last year, I feel like every time I go to talk to God, I have a really hard time hearing what he's saying back to me. Like I'm asking him to reveal himself to me, and to be real with you, I have a hard time hearing him. Maybe I'm not supposed to say that because I have the microphone on, the fancy one. But that's just the truth of where I am. I believe that he is who he says he is. And I believe that his love for me has not changed. I believe that God continues to lead us and wants to do good things in us and for us and through us. I believe those things. But there are lots of days right now that I have trouble feeling those things. And my guess is that at least some of you can relate to that. Maybe you can't relate to it today, but I would guess that you've probably been in a season where you know what I'm talking about. That I know those things are true, and I can say all the right words to let everybody else know that I believe that those things are true. And when people ask me how I'm doing and what's going on in my relationship with Jesus, I say like, oh yeah, things are good. It's kind of a weird season, but things are good. And we use all these like churchy terms to dress it up. When the reality is, there are lots of days when I feel like I wish I could wake up to the wonder of being in the presence of God, and I don't know how to do it. So what right do I have to talk to you this morning? I don't know, maybe none. Other than to say, in no way do I sit on some pedestal trying to give you answers. I'm in the middle of this with you if this is where you find yourself. And having seen some things that really work and having seen some things that really don't, I'd like to suggest maybe a few things that can move us closer to waking up to the wonder that I wish I was able to experience every day. To bring us back to the place where Cashel and Cove and Ryland are, where every day is a new adventure. I know that there are things that can get us closer there. Do I have a magic bullet for you? I wish I did, because then I would use it. But I have some ideas. We're going to walk through three of them. These are all stolen from other people. So if you think that they sound really smart, they are not mine. The first one that I want to share with you is to think about the things that stir your heart. So what I don't want you to hear me saying is, I've been 100% numb for the last year and I don't hear God at all. That's not what I'm saying. One of the things that I have learned is that there are some things that start to stir my heart and wake me up. And I think that those things are different for us. I read a book a few years ago called The Sacred Pathways, which is really good and I would recommend it to all of you. The Columbus Library actually has a copy of it if you go to the library. Someone said to me one time they didn't know what libraries were for. They're for books and reading, and then you don't have to buy the book, you can just borrow it and then you give it back. And then this person said, how does a library stay in business? So this was an adult that was asking me these things, so it was very confusing. Anyways, libraries will give you books for free and then you just take them back. That's how it works in case you've never gone to one. Our library has a copy of this book, and the idea is that there are different ways that we're wired. This author suggests 9 of them. And says that we are each wired differently, that there are different things that kind of wake your soul up and make you go, oh yeah, I remember what it is to experience God and his love in all of its fullness. And for some of you, that is being outside in the outdoors, which is a bummer because we live in Ohio. So like, I'm sorry for you right now. But some of you, all you need to do is like get out there and hike a trail and get to some place where the view is awesome and you go, oh yeah, I remember. Some of you, it's studying. Some of you, you sit down with a book, with your Bible, with your journal, with a really good commentary, and you dig into God's word. Some of you are like, seriously, that's it for some of you? It really is. I had a high school student tell me that this week. For me, Miss Knepper, it's when I sit down and I study God's word. And I was like, that's incredible. For some of you, it's music. This is my mom. When my mom is able to just let loose and worship through music, she remembers who God is. Her heart is stirred. And I think you know what I mean when I say that. Like there's something inside of her that comes alive. For some of you, it's spending time by yourself. And I think I've told you this before, but that's it for me. Like getting to spend some time by myself. I think that you are wonderful people. I also like it when you all go away for a little bit. So spending time by yourself and just getting to think and pray. What is it that stirs your heart? You know what I also think goes on this list? There are different people that stir our hearts for Jesus. And again, those people are probably different for all of us. You probably all know at least one person that when you get around them, you walk away thinking, man, I want to know Jesus the way that that person knows Jesus. I want to like fall in love with him the way that that person loves him. I want to spend time talking to him and spend time studying the way that that person does it. I work with this guy. I don't know. He's been at our school for a really, really long time. His name's Mr. Eiten. And it doesn't matter like what you're talking about. When you spend time talking to Mr. Eiten, somehow he has this way of reframing the conversation to make you walk away thinking about, man, Jesus loves me so much. Now, we could be talking about like how the kids were throwing food against the wall in the cafeteria, right? And without fail, I walk away from him thinking, Jesus really loves me. Now, I don't know how that happens, okay? Because I'm like mad that they're throwing stuff against the wall and someone has to clean it up. And then I walk away and I think, Jesus loves me. I don't know how he does it. I don't know. And yet when I spend time around this person, my heart wants to know Jesus more. Who are those people for you? And when you figure it out, get time with those people. Figure out who those people are and then find a way to get around them. So maybe they're in a movement group. Go to that movement group. Yes, that was a plug for movement groups. Go to the movement group that has people in it that stir your heart for Jesus. Set up time on the weekends to spend time with these people. Bother them. Go to their house. Tell them that you'll babysit their kids and then just show up and hang out with them instead. Like, I don't know what it is that you have to do, but get around these people that stir your heart for Jesus. Know what it is that makes you tick. Know what it is that makes you want to know Jesus more. And then get that stuff in your life. Honestly, far too often, the reason that I can't wake up to the wonder of who Jesus is because I am just too lazy to do what I need to do. I would rather sit down and say, well, you know, I don't know where God is. He's just not talking to me. When I know full well some of these steps that I can take to stir my heart, and I'm just too lazy to do it. A friend of mine, he hears God most clearly when he's running really far and really fast. That makes no sense to me. I like to run, but usually all I hear is my own breathing when I'm running, not God. But maybe for you, that's it. And you need to just get outside and go for a run or whatever it is. I would encourage you, honestly, this afternoon or right now while I'm talking, to jot down what some of those things are. What is it that stirs your heart? Maybe what you need to do is simply set up a reminder. This is what Jacob did in this passage. He took his stone pillow and he set it up as a memorial so that when he saw that again, he was reminded of who God was and what he was doing and what he had promised him. Do something to remind yourself. Wear a bracelet, write it on your mirror, put a reminder on your phone, whatever it has to be. Remind yourself of who God is. Now, the second question I would ask you is simply the flip side of that. Not what stirs your heart, but what steals your heart. Again, I think that these things can be different for all of us. I think that there may be some people that need to go on this list. Now, that sounds like really, you probably don't want to tell those people that they're like on your steals list. Like, oh, you steal my heart, so I'm just going to, sorry, not spend time with you anymore. But look, I used to work for some people who I really liked them, but man, they were so negative. And so when I spent a lot of time around them, I found myself being really negative all the time. It wasn't good for me. I had to start to rearrange my schedule so that I wasn't spending all of my time with these people because, to be honest with you, I didn't like who I was becoming. Some of the other things that go on my steals list, when I spend far too much time on my phone, now you're probably like, of course, she's going to talk about our phones. My students always expect me to talk about social media and how they should stop using it so much. They just roll their eyes at me. Maybe that doesn't affect you, but it does for me. It's just like a black hole. It's like sucking my time away. You know what's changed on Instagram in the last 15 minutes? Like nothing, like one picture, okay? So like, I don't know why I have to keep checking it. And like, I got two more likes, woo! You know, like, I don't know why I feel the need to like refresh and refresh and refresh and refresh, but I do. Sometimes I just gotta put the phone down and walk away. Maybe it's a certain, you know, something that you watch, something that you do. I don't know what it is. I'm not trying to suggest that your phone or that your TV or that any of those things are evil in and of themselves. But if spending too much time on those things is stealing your ability to be woken up to who God is, why use it? Like, if this is really what we care about and what really matters is waking up to the wonder of being in God's presence, shouldn't we want to structure our lives with the things that help us get there and without the things that pull us away from that place? This is not about legalism. I don't care if you check Instagram every 15 minutes. I don't care. If that doesn't affect you, awesome. Stay on it all the time. I do not care. But for me, that steals my heart. And I got to be better at walking away from it. The last question that I would ask you is, who is it that can shake you awake? There was one summer that I was working with these high school students, and we had this boy named Ethan Higa on our Barnabas team. And he was this tiny little Hawaiian kid, like seriously so small. I think he was probably this tall, and I think he only weighed 90 pounds. We drove this bus to all these different churches, and he would fall asleep on the bus, laying on his back with his arms crossed over his chest, like he was in a coffin. It was kind of creepy. And when he would fall asleep, his eyes would stay open, which was even creepier. And if you tried to wake him up, you could like yell in his ear. You could like try to kind of shake him a little bit. Ethan was down for the count. The only way that you could wake Ethan up is if you took your fist and you slammed it on his chest. It was the only way to wake him up, which was kind of scary because he's so small. You think you're going to break him in half. It's the only way to wake up Ethan. Like, he was completely out. I don't know how he was able to sleep so soundly, but this is who he was. Completely down for the count. And some of us, we have started to fall asleep to the wonder of God so deeply that it's going to take more than just something that can stir me and avoiding the things that can steal me. But it's going to take some people who can actually like kind of get right in my face and shake me awake. Who are those people for you? And have you given them the permission to do that? I can talk about Mark and Kristen because they're not here. They do that for me whether I like it or not. I've known Mark and Kristen for a really long time. And there are some times when I can remember a couple of times really distinctly when I have been at their house and I'm being kind of mopey about whatever is going on in my life. And Mark will look me right in the eyes and he will say, I understand that you're having a hard time, but you need to understand that everyone else has things in their lives that are difficult too. So you need to get over it. And I'm like, that's not really a very nice thing for you to say right now. I wish that you would have just like patted me on the shoulder and let me cry. But he knows me well enough to know that that's what I need. I just need someone to say, hey, shut up. And wake up to the fact that God wants to do something and you're so wrapped up in yourself that you can't even see it. Who are those people that will just speak the truth to you? And if you don't have those people, can I say that this church wants to become a place where you can find those people? We want to be a place where you can build. Now, if you go to a movement group, I promise people won't say that to you the first time. Like, it's not like you're going to walk in and they'll be like, shut up, stop complaining, you know? But maybe the second time. No, I'm just joking. The movement groups are a place where we want you to get connected and to find people who know you, who learn to know the good and the bad, and who are willing to say, hey, you got to stop. Get over yourself. Stop complaining. And do something about the situation that you're in. Who are those people for you that will shake you awake? The beautiful thing about the church, not just our church, but the church, the beautiful thing about the church is that we get to help each other and support each other. And so on the days where you feel like I'm just kind of in a haze right now and I'm not awake to the wonder of who God is and the fact that I'm in his presence, on those days, you know what is so good for me? To be at this place. To be at this place and to be around people who are very aware of the wonder of God's presence. And even though it doesn't necessarily fix everything for me, it reminds me of the fact that even though I don't feel it right now, it's still true. Even though I don't see God answering this prayer that I've been asking him about for the last months and months and months, I am seeing God answer prayers in the friends of my lives at this place. That their lives are being changed, that God is doing something in their lives, that God is responding to them. Now, that doesn't mean that God loves them more than he loves me, but it's a good reminder for me that God hasn't changed. Just because I don't feel him today doesn't mean that he's not here. He's here. And on the days when I can't experience him, I need to be around other people who are to remind me that he hasn't gone anywhere. That's why the church is so important. When we decide, I'm going to pull out, I'm going to pull away, it's too hard, I don't feel him, you're removing yourself from the people who can help you the most. As you've listened to the last 3 weeks of this series, Your Move, it's been all about our vision. We've used different words, so you think, maybe I haven't heard this sermon before. But the reality is, every January, we talk about the same thing. Sorry. The reason that our vision doesn't change is because we don't believe that what God has called us to has changed. He's called us to celebrate who he is, to connect with other believers around us, and then to change the world by inviting other people into this place. That hasn't changed. What has changed for some of us is that we've grown numb to who he is and what he's doing. And so my encouragement to you, to me, today, is to wake up. Because we're in the presence of God. He has not gone anywhere. He has not left us. If we don't feel him, it's not because he's not here. It's because we've fallen asleep. So what steps are we going to take to move ourselves closer and closer to being able to experience his wonder again? What things stir you? Participate in those things. And not to beat a dead horse, but if I can just suggest to you, if you're not involved in a movement group and if you're not involved in serving, those are two things that put you in a place where you can experience him more easily. Because you're surrounded by people who want to know God. Because you're surrounded by people who want to draw closer to him. And even on the days when I want to cross my arms and just say, not today, I just do not even feel like trying for this today. I'm surrounded by other people who care enough to express to me, this is what God is doing in my life. And I'm forced to remember, yeah, that's good. And I want that. Will you engage with us? I cannot promise you that being consistent and being involved here is going to make all of the difficulty go away. In fact, it might make things harder. About a couple months ago, Kristen sent me a message and said, I was just thinking about the fact that since we invited you to be part of our church, we've probably made your life a lot more difficult than it was 2 years ago. So thanks, sorry. And I was like, that's actually kind of true. Yeah, like there are things that would be way easier if I didn't have to sit up and I didn't think like, what are we going to do about multiplying this movement group that's way too big? Where are we going to put them? And now this group doesn't have anywhere to meet. And what are we going to do about that? And where are we going to serve? And what if the serving opportunity doesn't have enough work? I hope there was enough work for you yesterday afternoon. Like, what are we going to do? Right? Like these are the, and on top of this, I have a full-time job, right? So like I'm thinking about this while I'm supposed to be working on my job. And yet, where else would I go? Because this is the place that helps me wake up to the wonder of who God is. If you have felt numb, I want you to know that you are not alone. And I want you to know that it doesn't mean that God is unhappy with you, that God is displeased with you. But it may mean that you need to make some choices more intentionally to put yourself in a place so that you can wake up to the wonder of who he is. When I really stop and think about it, I can't imagine why I would want to spend time focused on anything else. What else matters more than this? Nothing. And I want to be able to have faith like a child. I want, when I think about Jesus, to be just as excited about him as Cashel was about these camels walking into this church building. I want that. And I want to be able to say that I've done everything I can to pursue that. Your faith is not all about feelings. It's not. But God created you with feelings. And he wants you to engage those as you approach him. I challenge you to think through this stirs list and this steals list. And if you're not connected and involved, I challenge you to stop by the next steps table. Give it a shot. What's the worst that could happen? You go to a movement group and you think it's the dumbest thing you've ever done and you don't ever go again. Okay, don't tell me that because that'll make me feel a little bit sad. But what's the worst that could happen? Give it a try. Put yourself in a place where you have the ability to wake up to the wonder of God, because we are in his presence. I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to transition into singing again. And I think that the words of this song are so appropriate to what it is that we've been talking about this morning. And I do this sometimes where I just sing without really thinking about what I'm singing. And so maybe for you, what you need to do is you just need to sit and you need to listen. To allow yourself to really hear what it is that this song is all about. To allow your heart to start to wake up to the wonder of the presence of God. Father, I thank you that you don't change, that you haven't moved, that you haven't left us, that the things that you called us to as a church 2 years ago, that you continue to call us to, that your desire to see people in Hilliard meet you and know you and find their way back to you, that hasn't changed. The way that you have made promises to people, the way that you made a promise to Jacob, and then you said, I'm not going to leave you till I fulfill it. And that's what you did. God, that's the same God that you are today. And you know us. You know me. You know my heart. You know my crap. You know that for all of us. And so, God, you know where we are in this whole process. Those of us who are struggling to be awake to the wonder of who you are, and you know why. God, I pray that your spirit would move among us today. That you would give us hope. Hope that we can hear you, and hope that we can experience you again and afresh, and that we can come to you like a child experiences life, full of excitement and wonder. God, give us the perseverance that we need to move through whatever season we find ourselves in. And Father, for those of us in here who right now we're just living in the wonder of who you are. God, will you give those of us who are in that place the boldness to vocalize those things and to let that spill out of us and to spill on the people around us as an encouragement and a reminder that you have not moved and you have not changed. Teach us to be intentional to pursue the things that stir our hearts for you, and to get the things out of our lives that are stealing our hearts from you. Thank you for the community that is found in this place. Thank you for the way that people love on each other and the way that people point each other closer and closer to you. And God, thanks for what you're doing in our movement groups and on our volunteer teams. And not to make this a commercial, but God, we believe in those things because we believe that that's how you want to use us and how you want to work in us. And so God, I pray for the health of those ministries, that more people would be involved, not just so that our numbers look good, but because as we're involved in those places, we are more alive to who you are. Wake us up to your wonder, God. In Jesus' name, amen.